So the title that we're thinking about today is What Makes Us Fearful? What Makes Us Afraid? And that's a question I'm just going to ask each of us at this moment, because I suspect there'll be a whole range of things that come to mind. It could be, I mean, one of the obvious ones is death or dying, but could be cost of living, which is obviously seems to have been just put behind us for a week or so. Maybe flying, could be public speaking, heights, being found out, maybe. Fear of failure, fear of being in the spotlight, spiders, you name it. Just chat to the people near you. What makes you fearful? Just spend a moment or two, then I'll just take a few thoughts. What makes you fearful? Okay, I'll just stop you there. There's a list as long as my arm, I suspect, coming out. So just a couple of things that perhaps I've not mentioned. A couple of things, what makes you fearful, Paul? Very fearful, yeah. Thank you, Paul. Anybody else? Any fears that haven't been mentioned so far? Change. Oh, fear of change, yeah. Thanks, Paul. That's a really interesting one, isn't it? Fear of the dark, yeah, yeah. Janet?
Birds that fly inside the house or anything that scuttles around.
So... So that's things that scuttle around in the house that you're not quite sure what is, or birds that fly into the house. So that's really good. Okay, so there are many, many things that make us fearful. And really, it's normal, isn't it? I mean, I think it's really important to know that we're wired to sense danger. That's how we're made up. It's that whole fight-flight principle that's in all of us. So fear is a normal thing. So we had our gospel reading this morning, very, very familiar, isn't it, of Jesus calming the storm on Lake Galilee. And the gospel writers record quite a number of instances where fear is, and not just the gospel writers, other writers in the Old Testament too, where fear is around. So fear is throughout the pages of the Bible. And it's just important that we just recognize that that's a reality. So from this gospel passage, two things struck me. The first was that really interesting questions, or two questions, that Jesus mentioned to those disciples in the boat. Why are you afraid? Don't you believe yet? There's a challenge there, I think, to grow in faith. And that's not saying that if we reach a certain point in our faith, our faith reserves are so full, everything will be honky-dory. That's not what it means at all, because I don't think we ever get to that in that particular. It's not about amount. For me, growing in faith is about breadth and depth, not about amount. It's about relationship. It's about relationship with God, knowing that we are loved and held by God, and that he loves each one of us in a way that we really can't comprehend. And so therefore, bad things will always happen to us. Fears will always come into our lives. It's inevitable that's going to happen. But it's how we deal with that. It's how we work with those fears that I think is important. And maybe the challenge for us is just recognizing, even in the midst of our deepest fears, those everlasting arms are surrounding us and underneath us. God is there. So that's one thing. And just one other thing. There's a quote. I was trying to remember what it was, and it was Julian of Norwich. He said, "All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well." And what struck me about that was the hope and positivity that brings, even in the midst of really difficult times. A fascinating quote. So that was the first thing. The second thing was that came from this passage for me was something about the what I've just termed the otherness of God, the God who is out there, who is unknowable. And for me, that I've always felt for, well, not always, I felt for a long time, then we need to have a balance between the God who invites us to call him Abba, Father, Daddy, and the God who is all-powerful. The God who, in the words of that great hymn, who is immortal, who is invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. So there's something about how we balance that in our lives, really. The God who is intimately involved, yet the God who is out there and far bigger than what we can comprehend. And there's a very striking phrase in that gospel passage that's again struck me. Even the wind and the seas do what he says. I mean, that's amazing, isn't it? So how can we apply this gospel passage to us? Two things. The importance of prayer was the first thing that struck me. It was read to us just before by Jan. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Then there's another one. It's probably one of the first talks I ever gave from 1 Peter. It was to a youth group in Southport, of all places. And it was, I used the phrase from 1 Peter, cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. And then the one that I've quoted already from Deuteronomy, your eternal God is your refuge and underneath are the everlasting arms. So there's something about bringing our fears to God in prayer, openly and honestly. And there may be something too about asking others to help us do that. Remember that lovely story of the paralytic person who was brought to Jesus by four friends and they lowered him through the roof? I mean, there's something very profound about that, about being together, bringing each other and holding each other in prayer, particularly when the fears are around. So don't be afraid to ask for prayer. Heather, every service suggests that we're here to pray for us, all of us as individuals, after the service or at any time. So just be encouraged. And then the second thing is the importance of community. If prayer's important, so is community. There's a lovely verse from 1 John, again chapter 4, perfect love casts out or drives out fear. Now we've had an incredible 10 days, haven't we? Whether we're a keen monarchist or a take it or leave it monarchist or a republican, doesn't really matter, but it seems that the Queen's life and death has touched people in ways that are often beyond words, that people cannot describe, but it's also brought people together. It's enabled people to talk about their feelings in ways that some have never done before. It's enabled others to get in touch with their own grief, almost that the Queen's death has been a byproduct, really, of them suddenly thinking, gosh, I've never really grieved myself. And it also, for some, has rekindled a sense of hope, which some didn't have. And we sure need that hope at this moment. After the funeral tomorrow, Parliament will be back. They'll be back bashing each other in Parliament, as they do. And they'll be debating all kinds of things, trying to get stuff right, trying to solve the huge problems that this country faces at the moment. And the high cost of living and inflation is just a couple of many things they're going to have to do. And people, as you know, and there will be people in this building this morning and people that we know in the community who are struggling and thinking, how on earth am I going to survive this winter? Even with the so-called energy cap, just how am I going to feed my children? How am I going to keep warm? All those things are real for so many people. Community is vital. Other people are vital. I just want to remind us of our vision here at St. James, which is living God's love in our community, in our worship, and in our prayer. If perfect love really does cast out fear, in other words, fear will dissipate as others reach out to us or we reach out to others. If that is true, then, wow, that's going to be powerful. God is going to bring to us in this church as we begin to, or as we continue to reach out into our community, the nice and the not so nice, the washed and the unwashed, the churched and the unchurched. We're going to get all sorts coming into this building, coming to be, wanting to be part of this build, part of this community, because this community is about radiating the love of Christ. St. James, I think, as many have known it over the years, is changing, isn't it? Things are changing and growing. And that in itself, as Paul told us, fear of change can be a huge thing for us as well. What we once knew is perhaps not what is happening now. The unknown future. The country is facing that, we're facing that, some of us are facing that as individuals. But through prayer and community, so through that prayer and through our community here, we can encounter God who stilled the waves and brought hope to those who are fearful. Amen. I think we're going to sing now, and I think, are you going to introduce it to us?